It is good to be with you in the Lord's house today. And I hope you come seeking a blessing. I think I'm on.
Now you're on.
Now I'm on. Okay, am I on now? All right. How many of you know that you will, as a general rule, you'll find what you come looking for? Amen. I say this about everywhere I go, but if you came to see and to be seen, then you've already done that, and that's probably about all you'll get out of this service. But if you come looking for the Lord for a blessing, then you'll find it somewhere. It may not particularly be in the way I preach this sermon. It may be in the way somebody sang a song, or a smile, or a handshake, or a compliment. You'll find it somewhere if you're looking for it. So let's look for a blessing today in the Lord's Word. And we've come to recognize my buddy, Pastor Rick Lipp, and his sweet wife, Mary Ann. And I never have a problem remembering his wife's name, because that's my wife's name, Mary Ann. And it just kind of goes with me. Or she does everywhere I go, and I appreciate her. But some of you might not know my sweet wife. Stand up, darling. This is my Mary Ann. Today I knew that the service today was geared toward honoring Pastor Lipp and Miss Mary Ann, sweet Mary Ann. And so therefore, I want to try to bring a sermon today I think that fits in those terms of pastor appreciation. So I'd ask you to take your Bibles with you this morning and turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel, verse 23. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 17 from there. But it is an honor for me to be here on Pastor Rick and Mary Ann's special day. And I just want the two of you to know that I bless you for the many wonderful years of service that you've had here at this church. You have a good name among the community, and I appreciate that. Appreciate you. And I pray that you have many more prosperous years. And Community Chapel, I encourage you to support the work of your pastor and his wife. Love him. Love his wife. Love his family. Support him. And he'll work himself slapped to death for you if you'll just do that. How many of y'all know that to be a fact? Amen. All right, if you found that scripture, please stand with me for the reading of God's word, 2 Samuel 23, starting with verse 14. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines, and drew water out of the well that was by the gate, and took it, and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men." I want to stop right there. And I want to look to the Lord in a prayer, and you just pray with me. Now I want to try to lift this thought. Now I said, "Rick, this is for you today and Miss Mary Ann." I want to try to lift this thought out of that passage. What causes mighty men to follow a great leader? And that's what I want to try to bring this morning. You pray with me. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here today in this place to share your word and to be a part of this special service. Now I pray, Lord, in the next few moments, God, that you'd give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. God, you'd keep me on target and on time, Lord, to do what you'd have me to do in this place today. Lord, I pray, Father, for the anointing of your spirit to do that. Lord, I know that that anointing only comes from you, and I do seek that this morning, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you'd anoint each of us as listeners. God, that we might hear your word, then that we might apply it, and then, Lord, that you'd make us doers of your precious word. God, would you stir deep in our hearts today? Now, Lord, if there be one here today that doesn't know you and as their Lord and Savior, I pray that somehow, Lord, you'd speak to them, and God, draw them to you. Lord, perhaps some have just grown cold and indifferent. I pray, God, you'd draw them to you. Lord, I just pray for your precious will to be done here today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. As I began to contemplate what God would have me to speak about on this most auspicious occasion, the pastor appreciation for Brother Rick and Miss Mary Ann, God placed this thought on my mind. What causes mighty men to follow a great leader? Now, for any institution, the church included, to be successful, there must be a marriage of great leaders with great men forming a great team. Now, ladies, I want you to understand right from the outset of this sermon that I'm using the word men in the gender neutral term, which I mean people when I say men. I don't mean males, I mean people. Great women are required also on the team. Now, you women ought to say amen right there. Amen. The 23rd chapter that I've read today, the text scripture, it's as much, that whole 23rd chapter is as much about the mighty men who served with David as it is about David. So it is with any great leader. Now listen to this. They realize that it's not about them. Rather, it's about something much bigger than they are. It's about having the right team. Now let me tell you something. Not every soldier that David encountered made the list of his mighty men or David's team. Now listen to what I'm about to tell you. David knew that he would not attract all, but he would attract the right team. Amen. And how many of you know this morning that having the right team is more important than having a large team? Amen. Having the right team is more important than having a well-equipped team. Having the right team is more important than having the most talented team. My. Having the right team coalescing around the right leader will cover any shortfall in talent, resources, or size that you may have. Now listen to this statement. Don't miss this one. Great leaders inspire great followers. But great followers also inspire great leaders. It takes both. If you want Rick to be a better leader, you be a better follower. And when you become a better follower, he'll become a better leader. Amen? Now, who were these mighty men the Bible speaks about? In all, there were 30 of these mighty men who were with David. The Bible gives the exploits of three of them. One had killed 300 of the enemy with his spear. That was a bad dude. That was one you said sir to. Amen. One had stood his ground against the Philistines when the whole Israeli army fled. And as long as he could grip his sword, he was swinging and killing the enemy. Another bad dude. A third caught the enemy foraging and killed them. Now they were each distinguished heroes in their own right. But now at this moment in history, and I want you to understand this, at this particular moment in Bible history, David has not yet been made king. That's an important thing for you to remember. At this moment in the story, he's not even the king. But what's happening? He had been anointed by the prophet Samuel to be king, but at this moment he's not a king, but mighty men are already following him. Oh, y'all didn't get that, did you? He's not yet reached the full potential of what he's been anointed to become, but even already great men are following him. I ain't what I'm going to be, but thank God I ain't what I used to be either. Amen. Now, as I thought about these mighty men, the question came to my mind. What characteristics did David possess that would cause mighty men to follow him? What characteristics did he possess? The first thing I want you to see is these mighty men followed the great leader because they sensed the calling upon his life. 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren and said, the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. From the moment Samuel anointed him, the Spirit of God was upon him. He had been called to do something. Now I'm going to tell you what. You can take a preacher that's got every letter of the alphabet behind his name. He can be a PhD, an ABC, a 1, 2, 3. It don't matter to me. Hey, that rhymed. Amen. You know what? If he doesn't have the anointing of God upon his life, get away from him. If mighty men are going to follow a great leader, the great leader has to have the anointing of God upon his life. Now you can write a book on what I don't know about Rick Lipp. I'm not with him day in and day out. I don't know what his favorite flavor of Kool-Aid is. Help me somebody. I don't know what his favorite color is. There's a thousand things I don't know about him. But as a co-laborer of God with him, there's one thing I have learned about him. He's anointed of God to do what he does. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you what, and this ain't my sermon. Might wish it was, for it's over. But the Bible talks about the difference between a shepherd and a hireling. A shepherd will stay with the sheep and leave the sheep because he's called to the sheep. A hireling is here today and gone tomorrow. Oh, thank God he's got a calling on his life. But let me tell you now. Bible talks about authority, about having authority. How many of you know today that to be under authority, to have authority, you got to be under authority? There was a story in the Bible about Jesus when a centurion came and said, I've got a child that needs healing. And he said, but you don't have to even come to my house. He said, all you got to do is just speak the word. He said, because I sense you're under authority of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if you're going to be in authority, you got to be under authority. And he's called. And that's the reason you follow this man. Amen. Amen. Mighty men follow great leaders because of the calling of God upon their life. In the 11th century, King Henry III of Bavaria grew tired of court life and the pressures of being a king. He made an application to Prior Richard at a local monastery. And he accepted that he wanted to be accepted as a contemplative and spend the rest of his life in the monastery. He was going to be a monk. The king was. But Prior Richard says, do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience? And he said, that'll be hard for you to do because you've been a king. It'd be hard for you to be obedient to me. The king said, King Henry said, I understand. And he said, I will spend the rest of my life obedient to you as Christ leads you. Then I will tell you what to do, said Prior Richard. Now listen to this. Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you. When King Henry died, a statement was written. The king learned to rule by being obedient. The man of God has got to have the call upon his life. And he's got to be obedient to that. But not only did they see these great men, they saw his calling. The mighty men followed the great leader because he presented a great cause to them. 1 Samuel 17:29, and David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Even as a youth, David had a way of making others see the cause. Oh, Lord. Now listen, a little shepherd boy came onto the scene where Goliath was at. You know the story. The armies were on either side. Israel was cowered down, and Goliath was taunting them and taunting God. But a little shepherd boy came on the scene, and because he was anointed of God, he was able to make them see that there was a greater cause at work. It was the cause of the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Now listen, the king, he was even so convincing, Ricky, that the king was taking his armor off and said, "Here, go for it." But he couldn't take his armor. Listen, mighty men follow great leaders because the great leader has presented them a cause worthy of their time and their talents and their efforts. And this man has presented to you a cause that is worthy of your time, your efforts, and your money. Amen. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. You know why this church is what it is today? It's because God's man comes before you continually and presents the great cause of Jesus Christ, which is to go into all the world, teaching them in the name of Jesus, baptizing them, going everywhere and making disciples. How? Regardless of their race, regardless of their creed, regardless of their financial situation, regardless of their political stance, just go out and tell them about Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God that there's a cause so great that there's no big eyes and little bitty ewes. Whew! That's good, ain't it? I'm glad that I'm just as important as you are in this cause of the work of God, and that you're just as important as I am. It's a great cause. Now listen. When the leader shows the people a great cause, the mighty men will rally around that great leader. I've been in some building programs before. Y'all ever been in a building program? Did y'all survive? You know, when folks start really giving money on a building program, it's when the building starts going up and they can see something. And they see it. Now, am I wrong, Rick? That's when the money started coming, wasn't it? When folks could see it start going up, then they bought in to the vision. And I'm going to give you a verily, verily, Aaron says this morning, where your heart is, your checkbook will go with you. Amen. If your leader isn't presenting a vision that's bigger than your abilities, y'all hear what I said? If your leader isn't presenting a vision that's bigger than your abilities, then I doubt his ability to lead. Because our vision is not Pine Mountain Valley sized, but it's God sized. Amen. You know what? We ought to be like the fast food commercial. Come on now, help me a little bit. We're going through the drive-thru. We ought to come in faith through those doors with all the faith we can muster. And then listen when God says, "Do you want me to supersize that?" Woo! Hallelujah! And you say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Take my faith and multiply it." My, 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 my. Whew. beauty of preaching down here is that you get to preach and you also get your aerobics in while you do it. Amen. Going up and down them stairs. Now listen, mighty men follow great leaders because they sense the calling. There's a calling on this man's life. He presents a great cause to you. Amen. But the third thing, mighty men followed that great leader because they sensed his courage. 1 Samuel 17:34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Now verse 35 leaves us in the cold, because it says, and I went out after him. How many of you are going to go chase down a bear and a lion with a slingshot? Not me. I'm going to be calling Brother Rick Lip. I'll say, son, I got a mission for you. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and slew him. Now let me tell you something. When you catch a bear or a lion by his beard, you got him by the wrong end. Amen. That thing's got a bite in it. He caught him by the beard. He was eyeball to eyeball with him. He wasn't scared of him. My servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Let me tell you something. Great leaders have to have great courage. I'm going to tell you what, he's got to be like Superman sometimes. He's got to be faster than a speeding rumor. Amen. Able to leap tall steeples with a single bound. Able to take deacons on eye-to-eye, not blink. Able to take the women's auxiliary on and say, ladies, I love you, but this is the way it's going to be. Able to go where the drug addicts go, the alcoholics go, the dregs of what we would call the dregs of life, and say, I come in the name of the Lord, therefore I do not fear man. Woo! Well, bless the God, Lord, this ain't about that old preaching ground. You can't be some mamby-pamby mama's boy and be a leader that God would be pleased with. We got too many preachers filling too many pulpits who are too worried about what some ecclesiastical board or some busybody in the pews are worried about what he's doing or think about it, instead of just standing up with a two before in his backbone and saying, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God you got a man who'll tell it like it is. You got one that's kind of like me. He ain't got good sense. He don't know when to hush. Amen. You got one when you tell, Lord, preaching, you stepped on my toes. He'll look at you and say one or two things. He'll either say, well, move. You know, if you're getting hit, move. Or if you say, well, you got on my toes. He'll say, excuse me, I was aiming for your heart. Amen. You know what? Mighty men sense weakness. And they won't follow somebody they sense to be weak. Hello? Mighty men sense fear. Mighty men sense indecision. They sense cowardice. And they sense a phony. And they will not follow. Right. Amen. It takes courage to be the leader that pleases God. Now listen, sometimes that means your pastor's got to make the tough decision. Amen. Sometimes it means he's got to address what's wrong and set it right. Sometimes it means he's got to stand his ground when it's just him and God. Amen. I come to a conclusion a long time ago, Rick. Me and God make a majority. Amen. Sometimes it means, my brother, you'll face opposition. Sometimes it means you'll be scorned, ridiculed, fussed at, and talked about. Hey, but when they do it, you're in good company. Amen. But you got to have the courage to do the right thing, stand your ground, and see it through. Mighty men follow great leaders because they sense the calling. Because he presents a cause. Because they sense the courage. But number four, mighty men follow the great leader because they know his character. Oh, that's good, ain't it? Amen. They, these mighty men, were passionate about David's character. Because you see, what is character? Character is the core values about which we are passionate. They govern every aspect of our life. And those mighty men had determined, hey, David's passionate about the same things we're passionate about. Character may be manifested in great moments, but it's made in the small ones. Amen. Will Rogers was known for his laughter. But he also knew how to weep. One day he was entertaining at the Milton H. Berry Institute in Los Angeles, a hospital that specialized in rehabilitating polio victims and people with broken backs and other extreme physical handicaps. Of course, Will Rogers had everybody laughing, even patients in really bad condition. But suddenly he left the platform and went to the restroom. Milton Berry followed him to get a towel. And when he opened the door, he saw Will Rogers leaning against the wall, sobbing like a child. He closed the door, and in a few minutes, Rogers appeared back on the platform, as jovial as before. Now I said that to say this. If you want to learn what a person is really like, ask three questions. Number one, what makes him laugh? Number two, what makes him cry? And number three, what makes him angry? And if you'll answer those three questions, you'll get a pretty good picture of the character of the man. And you see, those mighty men who were following David had already made that examination. They knew what made him laugh. They knew what made him cry, and they knew what made him angry. And I'm going to tell you what, it's pretty easy to get a preacher that'll laugh. Amen? It's pretty easy to get one that'll get mad about some things. But it's rare that you see one that'll cry about some things. And I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't give you two hoots or a holler for a man of God who doesn't know how to shed tears over the situations in his life. Amen? I tell you what, I wouldn't have one iota of problem following that man, because I promise you there's times that only he and God knows about that he's before him shedding tears, calling your name. But I'm going to tell you what, that's what makes a great leader great, and that's what makes folks follow a great leader when they know that he cares. Oh, there's an old saying that says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Hallelujah. But number five, the mighty men followed the great leader because they witnessed his conduct. David fleshed out what he believed. His conduct matched his character. His walk matched his talk. He behaved what he believed. Mighty men, are y'all with me? Mighty men do not follow hypocrites. Amen. When Queen Victoria was a child, she didn't know she was in line for the throne of England. Her instructors, trying to prepare her for a future, were frustrated because they couldn't motivate her. She just didn't take her studies seriously. Finally, her teachers decided to tell her that one day she would become the Queen of England. Upon hearing this, Victoria quietly said, "Then I will be good." You see, the realization that she had inherited this high calling gave her a sense of responsibility that profoundly affected her conduct from then on. When we realize that we are the ambassadors of Christ in this world, honey, it'll have an effect on your conduct. Amen. Great leaders behave what they believe. Let me talk to you a minute about conduct. Now I look across this crowd, and some of you are going to know what this word I'm going to use means. Some of you, the younger ones, won't have a clue. But how many of you, like me, are old enough, and I'm talking about the 50 and older crowd, to remember when you had the word deportment on your card, your report card? How many of y'all remember that? Amen. I remember one day, I was about the third or the fourth grade, that report cards came out. And I passed everything. Now you think that it would have been a happy day in my life because I passed everything. Oh no. It was one of the blackest, deepest, darkest nights of days of my soul. You know why? Because I had a B in deportment. Now for those of y'all who don't know what deportment means, it means conduct. You see, I was raised with Bill and Betty McCullough as my parents. You didn't get B's in deportment. I rode that yellow school bus all the way home, and I knew my proverbial goose was cooked. Amen. There was no way out of it. I got off at the end of the dirt road, and my head hung low. And it seemed like it took me forever to walk up to the house. And when I got there, Mama was in the backyard, in the chicken pen, feeding the chickens. And I walked out in the middle of that chicken pen. You got to see this in your mind's eye. There's chickens everywhere. And here I was, a third or fourth grade boy, handing that card up to her. Knew it was coming. She opened that card and she was smiling. And all of a sudden, the frown, when the smile froze and a frown took its place. And she said, "My boy got a B in deportment." And I don't know what she grabbed, Brother Rick. I don't know if it was one of them chickens or a stick. I don't know what it was. But that woman commenced to beating on me. And I mean, I went to do, I'd put a Pentecostal to shame in a heartbeat that day. Woo! This Baptist boy was doing some dancing. And my mama, you ever notice how they get to talking in them one word sentences when they go to spanking you? She was talking in them one word sentences. She was doing just like this as we were going round and round. She said, "Let me tell you something. I can't make you smart. I can't open up your head and pour knowledge in, but I can make you behave." Amen. And she beat the daylights out of me. Boy, it was me and her and chickens going everywhere. The feathers was flying that day, and a whole bunch of them were mine. She plucked my tail feather real good. No pun intended. But I'm going to tell you something. I got the message. You know what the message was I got that day? That my conduct better reflect what my mama and daddy was putting in me. Now let's take this thing on a spiritual level. You know why great men follow great leaders? Because their conduct reflects what their father has put in them. My. You wish you was preaching this morning, don't you? Amen. Hallelujah. They follow great leaders because of the calling, the cause, the courage, the character, and the conduct. But let me tell you something else. Mighty men followed him because of his commitment. You know what? He wasn't going to be here today and gone tomorrow. He was committed to the cause. And they also follow, and I got to get this too, not only because of the commitment, because of the constraint. Now, like this, 2 Samuel 23:16. And the three mighty men break through. You know, all David said was, they were in the battle and they were in a hole. They had them surrounded. And he said, you know what? Oh, it sure would be good to have a glass of that good old water from that well. And that's all he had to say. He didn't really mean for anybody to do anything. But those three mighty men, three men's men, said the leader wants a drink of water from the well. We're going to go get it for him. And they went and they broke through and they put their life. You know what? Followers will put their life in danger for you, brother, when they know you're the real deal. They put their life in danger for him. And they got him a drink of that water. But they saw great constraint. Because what did David do? He took it and poured it out. And said, I can't drink this. I can't do this. Far be it from me. And he poured it out as a drink offering to the Lord. My. What do you think that told them men? He was already on the top rung of the ladder. Honey, he went off the chart when he did that. See, because he knows how to constrain himself. He knows when to show restraint and when not. And then finally, as I've already said, commitment. What a picture of commitment. He said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. What a picture of commitment. Now, I hope today that I've drawn for you a picture of your pastor. I believe I have. And if you would agree with me today in the next moment, now I'm going to read these again. And if you agree with me, this is just how I want to start to end my part of this service. Now listen closely. If you agree with this, then I want you to let it known, be known verbally by either an amen, a glory hallelujah, shout a little while if you want to, stand and applaud if you want to. But as I read these again, if this draws a picture of the leader you're following, let him know. So let me tell you something now. I'm headed to the barn with this. I'm just about closed. But let me tell you something. I tell folks this. If you want me to know how you feel about me, tell me while I'm alive. Don't wait till I'm dead. Don't come around no casket slobbering on me. Because I will be looking good in that casket just like I do in life. I got to go here again. I know y'all have heard this, but I want to tell you again. You see, not only do I style and profile in life, I'm going to look good in death. My wife's going to have me dressed up just right, have my tie tied just right with a nice looking suit on. They may have to cut the back out of it to make it fit, but it's going to look good from what you can see. Amen. And I'll have a little rose in my lapel and a Bible in my hand, and folks going to come by and say, don't he look good? And you're going to be telling the truth. You won't even have to lie. But I tell you what I did tell her one time, Rick. I told her, I said, when I die, I want a lot of sad singing and slow walking going. I want a lot of blubbering, make like you tore up whether you are or not. And I told her, I said, when it comes to burying me, he said, I want you to make every deacon that ever gave me a problem a pallbearer. And make him tote me for a mile. But I started down that road to say this. If you want me to know something, you give me my roses while I'm alive. Because when I'm dead, I ain't going to know anything about it. Now let me turn my attention to your leader today. If you want Pastor Rick and Miss Mary Ann to know how you feel, you see, you got to tell them. So, well, they know how we feel, preacher. No, they don't. Pastors are the most insecure people in the world. We're invincible one Sunday and ready to resign the next. Amen. We'll attack hell with a water pistol one Sunday, and next Sunday we're under the juniper tree. Amen. He needs to know how you feel this morning. So as I call these, would you make your feelings known to this couple? You see, you follow this couple because you sense a calling on their life. Amen. You follow them because you sense that he presents to you a great cause. You've seen them display, when everybody else was turning tail and running, they've displayed great courage. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm about to get happy. You have seen displayed in them great character. Amen. You have seen them display great conduct. You have seen in them when the time was appropriate, when they would exercise great constraint. But finally, as I go to my seat, I leave you with this. You follow them because you've seen of them great commitment. They're not here today and gone tomorrow. Come around with me. Love you, brother. Amen. Do you love your leaders? Do you love this couple? Let them know about it. Woo! Amen. Now I tell you what I want you to do. Why are we singing something or doing something? I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm doing this. Amen. I want you to come around and I want you to love on them. And when you get through, I want makeup all over his shirt, tears all over him. I want you to love on them this morning. Because they need it. They need it. Good preachers are hard to come by. Good pastors even harder. You got two in one here. You got a good preacher and a good pastor. And a good pastor's wife. Amen. Come love on. Amen. Sing something, brother. Do something. I don't know where we're going, what we're doing, but...